IVM.
Hello, welcome to The Origin of Things, or TOOT for short. A short format podcast where I give you the origins, the backstories, slightly dramatized but 100% true, of things that you know, love and use. I reveal what I'm talking about only at the very end, keeping you, the listener, guessing. Or so I hope. In the first two seasons, I've taken you through the stories that have led to some of your favorite brands and the unlikely stories and accidents that got us there. If there's a lesson from this podcast, let it be that great things can come from the most unexpected of places and even some mistakes. This season, however, I'm doing something different and focusing on music, the stories behind some of the most iconic songs that have ever existed. I am your host, Deepak Gopalakrishnan, or as the world calls me, Chuck. The origins of that for another day. Let's move on to today's story.
Phil and Danny were experienced rock musicians before joining forces, playing in a number of power pop and pop rock outfits. Their first album together did decently, spawning a top 20 single, and their second album did all right as well, one of its songs being used in the movie Dumb and Dumber. Between that and their third album, though, life would change, thanks to Insomnia Cafe. Insomnia Cafe was a project by a duo called David and Martha. Their previous project, Family Album, didn't work out too well, and the duo were keen to get back in form, and it looked bright because Insomnia Cafe looked like it had potential. But there was something missing. It needed a particular kind of music, something upbeat, something with bright guitars perhaps, something power pop or pop rock-like. Now, Phil and Danny weren't exactly top of mind. They weren't a very huge act just yet. No. Initially, David and Martha and Warner Brothers wondered if REM would do it. Yes, REM of Losing My Religion and Everybody Hurts and It's the End of the World as We Know It fame. So David and Martha needed someone else to provide the music, and Warner Brothers looked at the other available bands in the catalog, and, well, Phil and Danny it was. Now, you'd think a music band would jump at an opportunity to earn some money and collaborate with others, but the project didn't really enthuse them. They were a band that was making serious rock and roll music and didn't want to associate with something that could be construed as commercial or uncool in the rock world. Still, they consented, mostly because of Warner Brothers' arm twisting, and hey, at the end of the day, David and Martha needed just 40 seconds. How hard could that be? And in any case, a good part of the song was already written. These guys just needed to put the finishing touches and play it. So they did that quickly and went back to working on their album, believing that was that. They even said they'd like their contribution to be kept anonymous. Alas, fate had other plans. David and Martha's project didn't just work out, it became a massive success. Everything associated with it blew up, especially that 40-second ditty that Phil and Danny recorded. You already know where this is going, and I'm pretty sure most of you would have guessed the song already. What you might not know is the reluctance of the band to record the music. If they were so reluctant to record the 40-second bit, imagine their chagrin when Warner told them that they needed to record an extended 3-minute version of it. Why? Well, the 40-second bit became so popular that some radio station in the US played it on loop so that it would fit the minimum song time. People were desperate to get their hands on the song. This was clearly a huge commercial opportunity for all involved, and finally, two more paragraphs were cranked out and Phil and Danny were back in the studio, distracted again from their third album, and recorded a new version of the track, which was released, and yes, it went on and became massively popular to this day. Warner even told Phil and Danny to release it on their upcoming third album, and by this time the band just said, yeah, okay, whatever. They weren't too happy about it. Clearly, the song was originally a hidden track. But well, that hidden track was what catapulted the band to stardom. It propelled the third album to platinum status, and I wonder how many of those bought it and listened to the other 14 tracks on the album. The song still acts as an albatross around the neck of the duo, who have recorded a total of 6 albums and would probably like people to recognize one of their other songs as well. And so it was that a project that had thousands of actors lining up to audition for the lead actor role had so much trouble finding a lead song. REM said no, Phil and Danny weren't enthused. They were forced to doing it not once but twice. And I suppose this episode of The Origin of Things could well have been called The One with the Theme Song. Yes, Phil and Danny are the Rembrandts. Yes, David and Martha are the legendary duo David Crane and Martha Kaufman, the producers of Insomnia Cafe, which would later be renamed to Friends Like Us, which would later be renamed to Just Friends. And yes, the song is I'll Be There For You. By the way, had REM consented, the theme song to Friends would have been Shiny Happy People, a satirical song based on the Chinese government's propaganda after the Tiananmen Square protests. A version of this, by the way, is up on YouTube. Oh, and by the way, I'll Be There For You is a nice song, but the Rembrandts' best song, let's face it, is Just The Way It Is, Baby. Give it a listen. See you next week with another episode of The Origin of Things.
If you like this podcast, don't forget to check out other interesting podcasts on the IVM network. You can listen to us and all our shows on the IVM Podcast app or ivmpodcast.com. You can also follow us on social media. We are at IVM Podcast on Twitter and Instagram. If you want to reach out to me, that's Chuck_Gopal on Twitter and Chuck of All Trades on Instagram. All links in the show notes of this episode. See you next week.